This is Digital Dave.
I'm Fast Eddie, and I can't believe they used that.
Well, I don't even know where they got it. Okay, we're joined by Brent Cobley of Ready?
NASA. Our buddies at NASA. And NASA isn't good. NASA is awesome.
There you go. And we're talking about the X-66, which is so secret, we've never heard of it before.
That's exactly right. They're going to have to kill us after we talk about it.
Yeah, nice. Thanks. So, what is the X-66?
X-66 is a culmination of really a lot of work over a lot of years. So it's an X-plane, which means it's a research airplane trying to understand some new technology. So it's NASA's first airplane really looking at how do we make commercial aviation more sustainable. How do we reduce the fuel burn, which reduces the carbon emissions for aircraft? And it's really an advanced configuration, which I'd love to tell you more about. But we've been working on it for more than a decade now.
You say an advanced configuration. It's what you call a strut, aerodynamic strut braced ring.
Yeah.
It sounds like an old concept.
Yeah. If you look back in the history of aviation, you see a lot of airplanes that have these struts, but they're there for a lot of different reasons. Ours is also there for structural reasons, but usually those types of airplanes don't fly at the speeds that commercial airplanes fly at, like 737s at Mach 0.8. So this is a very unique application of a strut.
Okay, so you're improving the efficiency by using thinner wings or smaller cord. Is that what it would be?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It is that too, yeah.
So for less induced drag.
Yeah, and so if you want less induced drag, you actually have to sort of, we call it high aspect ratio, which means you're stretching the wings out to make the wingspan longer, but at the same time you're sort of shrinking the cord and the thickness of the wing, and you basically end up with less volume in the wings. And you see that in nature too. Anytime you see a soaring bird that wants to use less energy and is just sort of riding thermals, they tend to have very, very long wingspans to compare to the sort of birds that are need to be more maneuverable with shorter wings. And so that efficiency, that lower induced drag with the high wingspan, is really what gives you the performance benefit. Problem being, once you get wings that long and that thin, structurally it's hard to keep them sound when you're trying to fly around. The wings want to bend too much, and you have this problem of making them strong enough. You have to add a lot of weight to make, which you know isn't good for an airplane to have extra weight. So the strut really allows us to make the integrated wing system lighter weight, but still stiff enough to be able to take the loads that are in a typical flight.
Okay, now you're starting out with, what was the aircraft you're going to modify? An MD-90?
MD-90.
Yeah. Boeing did a study looking at all times at different airplanes. They figured, hey, it's going to be much cheaper and quicker if we start with things that we don't really care about, like the fuselage and the landing gear. Let's pick something that's already been certified and is already designed. Turns out the MD-90, because Boeing bought McDonnell Douglas many, many years ago, they own the intellectual property for all that. They have all the drawings. They have all the experience with it. So it really makes a good platform to do a modification and add this new wing system on. So yeah, the MD-90 will be the key part of this project. And actually, we're getting ready to move the airplane from taking it out of storage. They're bringing it back into flying service, and next month we're going to move it down to the site in Palmdale, California, where Boeing's going to do the modifications for the new wing.
So the wings have already been designed. It's just a matter of fabricating.
They're sort of in. They've been through conceptual design, we call it. So basically, the shape and some of the internal structures have been laid out. But we really have to go through several more steps through a preliminary design, and we call it a critical design review. That's where you really get into the details of how you're going to route all the wiring and hydraulics and get the structure, and you do lots of loads analysis and look at dynamic modes, and there's just a whole bunch of things engineers need to look at before you sort of lock it down, make all the drawings, send it out for fabrication. So we have it's a multi-year process before we get to the point where we can build the airplane.
Have you wind tunnel tested a model yet?
We have. So NASA and Boeing have been collaborating on this transonic truss brace wing, is what this configuration is called. Since about 2008, we've done a whole series of wind tunnel tests looking at trying to improve the performance, push the speed up to higher speeds, because originally it was a little slower. And so with some design changes, and have been able to sort of still keep the drag down and the efficiency, but push the speeds up to where passengers and airlines are sort of typically fly. Nobody wants to fly slower to their destination, so that was a big challenge, getting up to those speeds. So yeah, we've looked a lot of off nominal things, like how does the aircraft behave in ground effect as you're approaching a runway? How does it behave at like near stall? So you look at all these off nominal conditions as well. And so yeah, there's been a lot of testing over the years on that.
Now, how much volume would you say you've removed from the wing?
I haven't seen any calculations, but okay. It's probably much more than half of the volume is now gone, which makes it a challenge, like I said, for getting the structure and all the hydraulics and the actuators in these thin wings. And then, you know, most passenger airplanes have a significant amount of fuel in the wings.
And that's what I was getting at.
Yeah. The fuel's a real challenge. And so I haven't seen whether Boeing feels that they can get the full fuel load back in the wing for a commercial airplane, which would be down the road. Or they might have to have some auxiliary tanks, say, in the belly of the airplane or in the sort of the cargo area or something like that. For the research airplane, the X-66 we're going to build, they are going to put some fuel in the wings just to kind of learn the process of how we would fit it in and you know, work systems around it. But they're also going to probably have an auxiliary tank in what would be the cargo area of the airplane, just so we can get some longer research flights.
Sure, and even then you're still going to be light because you won't have a passenger load.
Yeah, correct. We've taken all the interior out, so that allows us to add some extra weight to the airplane for this research mod, right. And it really doesn't affect the flying qualities.
And 4 tons of instrumentation.
A lot, yeah. Yeah, there will be thousands of measurements on the airplane when we get ready for the research flights.
You going to go on one of those flights?
It's possible, yeah. We typically do carry a couple engineers along with us.
Okay.
What's the primary structure of the wing going to be? Is it going to be aluminum? Is it going to be composite?
Yeah, it'll probably almost all composite, advanced composite, and maybe some other types of materials. There's a lot of advances going on in materials, but you want, obviously, strength and durability, reliability, but you want as light as possible. So that the way to get that is composites and get the strength. So, yeah, it will definitely be an all a composite wing.
Graphene, definitely.
I was going to say, it's a long, skinny wing, and I was thinking aluminum wouldn't be able to handle it. You couldn't build a spar thin enough that was strong enough to support it.
Yeah, definitely composites are some amazing materials. You just got to make sure you design it in a particular fashion and make sure they're interfacing with other materials properly, and then the long-term maintenance and stuff. So there's every year the technology in composites is getting better.
Okay, question. What is the wingspan of the original MD-90, and what is your wingspan?
Yeah, off the top of my head, I don't know what the MD-90 was. I know for typical single-aisle airplanes that most of us fly on, like 737s, Airbus A320s, they have a limit at the airports to get in what they call Group 3 gates, which is 118 feet or less. And so most of these single-aisle airplanes are in the 118 feet or less kind of area, so I'm guessing it's probably in that range. Now, the airplane we're going to build, which is just slightly under full scale, is 145-foot wingspan. And then if Boeing decides to put this into production, not this exact airplane, but something close to it, they may have more than one size even airplane. They may do a sort of 150 to 180 passenger maybe range, and then one that's more of in the low 200s. And so those might have different wingspans. But the expectation is if they want to use the existing infrastructure at the airports all around the world, most likely the smaller mid-size airplanes would have to have folding wings to fit into those gates.
Oh, wow.
And so that will actually, it's very likely that the next generation airplane you'll see them after landing fold up the wings just like the military
like
does
the
on an aircraft carrier deck. Yeah, same thing.
Interesting.
I don't know. It seems to me that putting folding wings on the airplane is going to add a lot of unnecessary complexity and weight as well. How are you going to get around that?
Carefully.
Yeah. So the expectation is we'll carry sort of a mass simulator for the research airplane so that we have the weight that would have been there if we had a fold, even though we won't have the fold. And so I think, you know, Boeing's been working on these wing folds for a while on military airplanes. The current 777X that they're going through certification with right now actually has folding wingtips. It's not as much of the span of the wing that we would fold. It's a smaller amount, like 10 feet or 12, something like that, on the wingtips. But they're going through certification with the FAA right now on how they would do that. So they feel pretty confident in that design.
That's very interesting. Pylon-mounted engines, where? Like right where the struts join the wing?
Sort of in the middle. So the engine exhaust, if they use a traditional engine, will kind of go between the wing and the strut.
Okay.
In between there. So it's kind of inboard, hanging just forward of the wing a little bit. But they're actually, so that's what the research airplane will have. We'll have the sort of a modern turbofan engine on it just for the research flights, even though we're just mostly focusing on the shape of the airplane. But when they decide to take this into production in the mid-2030s, they will be looking at the most advanced propulsion systems that are available. Then there's a lot of different candidates out there. So the propulsion system could look different than what we're expecting today.
Okay. But by keeping it inboard of the strut attach, you don't need to strengthen the outboard wing quite as much.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. So the airplane will be pretty stiff going out to that point. There'll be a little wing bend out there like there is in every airplane. But yeah, most of the weight will be inboard.
Where are you guys on the field?
Jump
subjects on you.
Yeah, I think we're a little north of the control tower, a big NASA booth. So definitely come out and visit us out there. We had 6,300 people come through our booth yesterday. We've got lots of really interesting stations around looking at not just our project, but lots of sustainable aviation projects looking at electric airplanes. We also have our low boom flight demonstrator, which is trying to get rid of the regulations that say you can't fly supersonic over land with passengers. We're trying to make the boom as quiet as possible so we can have commercial supersonic flights, and there's many other demonstrations going on there, and some things for kids to do as well.
Okay. Well, I'm looking forward to see this X-66 fly.
Should be interesting for sure. So
where do we book tickets?
It's going to be a little while, but I'm looking forward to see this in the next generation of single-aisle airplanes out there.
All right. Well, it's the first X-plane, as I said before, that has a bathroom.
Yeah, really.
All right. I want to thank you for joining us, Brent. Again, that's Brent Cobley with NASA.
And the X-66A project.
This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie, and this is EAA Radio.